The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here as well, producer number nine. I was just saying before the show here, just before we started, I appreciate so many things about Kelly Bidlin. Number one on the list, clearly though, the ferocity with which he types into a keyboard. Why do you pound a keyboard? Why can it be heard across the studio?
I don't know, man. It's kind of embarrassing. It's been a problem in every place I've worked. Not a problem. Someone's mentioned it everywhere I've ever worked.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's like a typewriter, man. You got to punch those keys, Gil. You gotta let them know what's going on.
I'm pretty sure if you tap the B gently, it still types B.
No. You gotta type with emotion. You know, what are we doing here?
Bill Krakenberger in studio this Thursday morning, hour number two. Glad to have Crack back in the house, if you will. Adam Kramer on college football, among other things, have to ask about his Iowa Hawkeyes. 35.5, that's your total. What does he have to say for himself? And John Legason will join us, talk NFL and Major League Baseball. He has a baseball pick, believe it or not, and John wants to talk about line movement in football as well, and so we will indulge him with that for sure. Plus, you and I are going to talk about adjusted season win totals in the AFC. We'll do that as well. Yesterday, let's start real quickly with the Braves and the Mets. Both lost for those who are involved in that division bet, if you will, for the National League East. The Mets lose to the Brewers 6-0. That was preceded. They were staggered starts, but that was preceded by the Braves just absolutely making a mess of their half of the eighth inning. Runners at first and second, one out, down a run, base hit, Michael Harris. Austin Riley, not the most fleet of foot guy. Rounding third, Ron Washington goes, go home, wait, stop. And Contreras was caught being aggressive behind him. So that was the end of that. And then, by the way, last at-bat of that inning, rocket shot, but right at a glove. And so the Braves lose as well. So the Braves and the Mets now, I believe it's seven straight times they both played on the same day. They've done the same thing. So they are still tied in the loss column, but now with the Brewers series cleared for the Mets, advantage Mets, as the Braves now have to play four at Philly. And so, you know, these are four. Every game is key now, obviously headed towards that three-game set in Atlanta between the Mets and Atlanta. But right now, in particular, the most key games are these four, because if the Braves can keep contact, if they can stay tied in the loss column through these four games, then I would argue advantage goes back to the Braves side with those three games between the two clubs being in Atlanta. But that's a big if. Four games here at Philly beginning tonight, which is a chance for the Braves to make up one of those games, meaning they have 13 games left. The Mets have 11 left. So this would get them down to just one fewer game played than the Mets, who are idle tonight. So that should be interesting tonight. Braves at Phillies tonight. The game that I will be watching in Major League Baseball. We have a couple basketball notes. I didn't think we'd come in here with basketball talk this morning, Kelly.
I wasn't expecting it either, Gil.
I just want to ask you from a betting perspective if this matters to you, if this has impact. So in case you missed it yesterday, Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka facing disciplinary action that is expected to include a significant suspension for his role in a consensual, intimate relationship with a woman who is a member of the franchise's staff, sources told ESPN Wednesday night. Woj with the bomb. The relationship was considered a violation of the organization's guidelines, and a decision on the length of that suspension is expected to come as soon as today, sources said. While no final decision has been made, internal discussions have included scenarios that would keep Udoka out for the entirety, of the 2022-23 NBA season, that again, according to sources. So, Kelly, first of all, two things.
Yeah.
One, and this is a serious question, I did not know that a consensual relationship at the workplace was so against Celtics guidelines. Now, Udoka is married. That should be thrown into this mix as well. By the way, he's married to Nia Long.
Yes, he is.
Which some would argue is worthy of a jail sentence, just to begin with. Forget being suspended by the team. But this is not an NBA issue. This is a Celtics issue. And apparently, I guess whether married or not, to have a consensual relationship in-house, if you will, is worthy of a 1-year suspension? Is that true?
I mean, I think it's one of those. I know this is a cop out answer, but this is one of those where there's more details.
There's got to be,
right? Like there's more to this story coming.
I don't know.
And yeah, I don't know how much this is the Celtics trying to, you know, protect him, protect them from themselves, protect them from the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't really know. It feels like there's some of that posturing going on right now, and I don't know exactly how much. And yeah, there's got to be more that comes out about this. Yes, the Nia Long part though is it's like, man, come on, you guys. I don't even think they're married. I think they've been dating.
Oh,
just
is that right? They're not even
for
married.
12 years
or
whatever.
Okay. So they're not married.
But yeah, but they've been together for a dozen years. When you remember that part, it does make it even more interesting.
Yeah, but that shouldn't play into your work guidelines, right? That shouldn't have anything to do with anything.
No, not at all, yeah.
So from a betting perspective, let's say you had, and I don't know if you did or not, but the Celtics, of course, defending Eastern Conference champions, this just in the National Basketball Association before the Warriors took them down in the finals. If you had conviction on the Celtics, both from a futures and or season wins perspective, whatever it is, however you were bullish on the Celtics betting wise, would this put a dent in that at all? Is this so, in other words, it's big coaching news, right? But would this matter to you?
Not much. I mean, look, did he make an impact on this team last year, a very positive impact? Sure. How many wins is it truly worth in a regular season? I don't know, a couple. You know, of what he might be replaced with. You know, and they do have, you know, some of their top assistant coaches. You know, Will Hardy left to become the Utah Jazz head coach this offseason. Looks like Joe Mazzulla would be the guy who would fill in on an interim basis. But he was a guy that was getting head coaching interviews as well this offseason. So I think they're in a place with, look, the young stars they have on that team, that if they had to shake up something with the coaching staff. Would it hurt them? Yes. Would it hurt them to a point where they would be, I don't know, struggling to make the playoffs or something? No, absolutely not.
No.
Because this is the NBA.
Would it cause you to regret a bet or stay off a bet that you haven't made yet?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you're looking to make a bet on the Celtics, I just don't think there's any reason I would hit the pause button, wait to see what this is all going to turn into. Because I don't really think it's going to affect the betting numbers huge one way or the other. So whatever, hit the pause, see what really happens, then make a bet.
Since we're on the NBA, one other thing, Jazz and Pistons in serious talks about a trade that would send Bojan Bogdanovic to Detroit and Kelly Olynyk to Utah. Hey, that's exciting. Plus additional salary per Shams. And then NFL.
Told you about those Pistons, Gil. Man, I'm trying to tell you, a year and a half ago or so, whatever.
One of the great primetime moments when Madden and Kelly made a very passionate argument for the Detroit Pistons. I'm like, what are these guys talking about? And then they closed it with, I think they'll be a playoff team within 2 years. I'm like, oh, that's great. Great. I'm glad we wasted 5 minutes on that. Justin Herbert. Now, I give you credit for this, Kelly, because you emphasized this yesterday. We're all so convinced Justin Herbert's fine.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should not be. Justin Herbert, day to day. He did some light throwing yesterday, and according to reports, they will trust him to decide as the week goes along, according to head coach Brandon Staley. By the way, Keenan Allen with the hamstring injury also considered day-to-day. Keenan Allen, who missed the last game. So
Chargers doctors are just so bad at this point, Gil, you just trust the players. Like, yeah. Last time we trusted the doctor, he stabbed the quarterback in the lung. So, yeah.
Well, that quarterback, while Tyrod Taylor is suing that right. doctor for puncturing his lung, let us not forget that that doctor gave us Justin Herbert, because yes. Anthony Staley was not going to on his own. So, silver lining, as I think I would say. Not to mention, by the way, the Chargers sideline, remember their barber gave him a horrible, Justin Herbert, a horrible haircut last year, too.
That's right. Yeah, trust
so just
any
don't
of these
do
guys.
Anything on the Chargers sideline.
I mean, I think it is, it's something that, man, you watched that game last week.
Oh.
And, I had major concerns about why the kid was even still in the game. You know, he throws a touchdown pass and things are looking better, but he's still in horrible amounts of pain. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden the news cycle turns around this week and it's like, oh, we just all, you know, like Herbert's okay. We know it's not bad enough to take him out for the season, but then everybody makes the jump to like, okay, he's not going to miss significant time, so then therefore he's completely fine. And it's like, no, I'm not making that connection. Who knows how much pain this guy is in? Who knows how this will affect his play?
Well, the upshot of this is you certainly can't lay the points against the Jaguars at the current moment, and you certainly can't say, oh, the Chargers are my survivor pick until you know.
Yeah.
And maybe we won't know about Justin Herbert when the survivor deadline comes around Saturday afternoon.
I wouldn't be betting anything pregame with this team or playing a survivor contest.
I'm just saying, in a week where survivor picks are already slim pickings, if you will, good God, what if that one gets taken off the board for us because we don't know the news on Herbert?
To me, you can't even consider it this week. I'm not even considering the Chargers.
Chase Daniel, the backup, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
Okay, tonight, Thursday night football.
I made bets, Gil.
Did you? What'd you bet?
I am in on the under, and I bet an under on Jacoby Brissett pass attempts. This weather keeps getting worse and worse up there. 20 miles an hour sustained wind up there was expected for tonight. Gusts up to 30. It looks like the rain might not be a huge factor, but wind is going to be a factor this entire game tonight. So I did get in a little bit on the under, and then Jacoby Brissett under on his pass attempts. I think this is a perfect spot for a same game teaser. You want to tease up the Steelers up to 10.5 and go under, then on the total, I think that's a good spot as well.
You were very excited. We should probably mention to people it's Pittsburgh at Cleveland tonight. Cleveland favored by 4.5, total 38.5. Kelly mentioning the weather issues. If I like the Steelers ATS, say fifth best, do I put in my Circa Millions picks now?
I think so.
I think this might be the week that I do that.
I think so.
I don't normally do that, but I'm going to trust my guessing lines instincts until they fail me this
year. I mean, it depends how much you like 6 and 7 on that list, right? But if you don't, I would put them in now.
6 is dropping. Let's put it that way. I liked Tampa Bay. I regret that bet. That's a consideration. John Legace on the other side. He's got thoughts on Thursday Night Football next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback here. Coach Brian, are you still playing the long odds on NL Cy Young? In faraway places, I found Alcantara at -400, Rodon 150-1, and Diaz 200-1. Coach Brian, I have the long shot in the AL Cy Young with Framber Valdez. I am not involved in NL Cy Young. And do I think a surprise could happen? Yes. Surprise in terms of what the betting market shows right now, I do not believe it will be either Rodon or Diaz. B. Miller, a lot of people about this Ime Udoka story. B. Miller, he says, I think that the no relationship thing is standard for most pro sports teams. I know an NHL team that has a similar rule involving all staff. Yes, but a year? A year suspension? And Mark Geiger probably has the most interesting point on all this, because this is the detail we might be lacking here, Kelly.
Yeah.
He says, when the two people are in different levels in the corporate food chain, even consensual relationships can be frowned upon as there is risk of favoritism and sexual harassment claims. Then he goes on to say, ask any employment attorney. Well, I missed that from the 10 law schools we both attended, Kelly.
It's okay. Kevin did.
What's that?
Kevin's qualified.
Kevin, the corner? The audio? Yeah, I don't know. No, but I think that's an interesting detail that would change the calculus on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's stuff that we just don't know yet about that story. For them to be talking a year suspension, there's something more behind that than what we know right now.
And then Doggy Daddy, the dog father, wants us to know that Gil, it's my understanding that he is not married to Miss Long, but they have a child together, aren't engaged. Well, we clarified that, yes. Thank you for that. The Nia Long love on Twitter is a sight to behold. And then Web 12-66, the angriest guy in New Jersey, talking about Justin Herbert. If this kid has torn rib cartilage, he is in tremendous pain. Every little breath you take is not magic. Well said.
Wow, good tweet.
I believe that was Sting who wrote that lyric back in the day. Or not. John Legesa joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from the Mayo Media Network. Did old Corked Stats there for a while. Now he's got the mix going on in the NFL. How you doing, John? What's happening, man?
Oh, I'm excellent. This time of year with the overlap and NFL and MLB going at the same time, my schedule probably meets the speed I talk.
Well, you first of all, you changed your Twitter. You are now John Legesa. For those who are looking for you, L-A-G-H-E-Z-Z-A. Legesa. Okay, you have a baseball pick. Let's do that first. What do you have today?
Oh, it feels so good to be breaking down baseball before it's gone. Give me the Cubbies. I like them at F5. The money line's at plus 100. I know I get some pushback. People do like nine innings. You can get that one at even money as well. Give me the Cubs over the Pirates. This is really where we find our edge at this time of the season, as people's focus is off of daily baseball, particularly during the week, particularly Cubs versus Pirates. Pitchers come up with skill. The Cubs have Hayden Wesneski going, who's been excellent. He's a big boy. I love the big guy, 6'3", 210. But since he's come up, 16 innings, 2.3 ERA, 0.7 whip, 500 OPS. But more than that, 30% K to only 3% walk, 39 O-swing, 82 in-zone contact. Meaning, not only is the command great, he wins in the zone, he wins outside the zone, and he's a grow master, keeping it low, keeping it slow. 43 ground ball, 18 hard hit, 1 home run per 9. And maybe more than anything, I like when pitchers throw their best pitch the most. What a novel idea. His slider is getting used 33% of the time through a 148 XBA. And right now, check it out. The Pittsburgh Pirates are on one of the worst seven-day stretches. I can imagine. I mean, I look at all these stats every day. Last 225 plate appearances as a team, 167 batting average, 35% K rate, a 46 WRC plus. This is just broken.
Oh my God.
This is just absolutely broken to the downside, and especially with the K. As I was looking at it again, you can get that K prop over 4.5 at even money as well. He's struck out 7 guys in 2 of his 3 starts. They're just terrible. Mitch Keller is okay. He's really worked his way from being a gas can, somebody we attacked, to really just being a league average guy. But 4 ERA, 1.4 whip. He's always walking guys, 2 walks or more each of the last 6. And again, that Pirate offense is just so bad. So in the race to 15, I think the Cubs get it done. Give me the even money through 5, but I think they win also because the Pirate bullpen has a 10 ERA last 20 innings. They're just spinning off the rails right now.
All right. We always put the disclaimer. You're not required to watch this Major League Baseball game, even if you bet on it, because it's the Cubs and the Pirates. But I just think it's interesting what you say. The Pirates are so anemic on offense. What was that, 167 over the last how many? What was it?
So 225 plate appearances as a team. They have a 167 batting average, a 236 on base percentage. I mean, these are the kind of stats that,
wow.
Yeah, these are the kind of stats, Gil, that get you sent down to the minors as an individual.
Right.
This is a professional team. 35% K rate. It's just unsustainable. 48 ground ball. They're doing everything wrong. They pretty much give it up. So we want to go after them when we have the edge.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll ask, you know, what's the most futile feeling in sports betting? And you think about, okay, well, like you're betting on a tennis match, and the person you're betting on also all of a sudden can't hit, you know, get a serve in. You know, there's numerous examples of that feeling of futility. But like betting on a Major League Baseball team that cannot, that has no offense, might be the worst of all of them because it's such a slow death. But you're going oppo on that. You're taking the Cubs first 5 here. Cubs and Pirates, 6:35 Eastern, 3:35 Pacific. Thursday night football tonight. Pittsburgh is a road dog at Cleveland. Now, I was just asking Kelly, and I'm curious your thoughts on this game. If for me, we're in a contest, right? A lot of people are in a contest. I'm in a contest here, circa millions, famously, which we have to pick 5 against the spread every week. I'm 7-3 through the first 2 weeks, and I'm sort of trusting my guessing lines instincts on Monday and just going with those. And so far, they've served me, you know, fine, quite well. I'll take 7-3 over 2 weeks, you know, for the rest of my life. Thank you very much. But Steelers, for me, would be like my 5th most confidence bet, I would say, of the week. And I'm considering putting in my pick. You have to put all of them in before Thursday night. How do you feel about this game? One of the things that I don't hear brought up a lot is competition matters. The Browns have played the Panthers and the Jets. The Steelers have played the Bengals and the Patriots, right? Both teams ended up in very different ways at 1-1, but I don't hear enough being made about that. What do you think about this game?
Competition is everything. Game script is everything. Having to put in all 5 picks before Thursday is really tough. The only place that I'm bucking here is I like to put my critical money on good quarterback play. That's my number one determinant betting football. Because like you said with baseball, the thing that kills you is the thing I like to stay away from. The thing that kills me in football is poor quarterback play. Quarterbacks that overthrow, underthrow, don't make the right reads. Just everything that has to do with timing. So I would probably stay away from this one. But I do like the Pittsburgh side. I'm a little bit surprised. The public's money has gone on Cleveland for exactly what you said. Cleveland's also very one-dimensional. We've seen that. They're going to try to force feed the run. The Steelers did very good against the run. Yes, the totals are there. People chase season totals in football. It's so context-driven, you can't do that. The Steelers have allowed below 4 running back yards per attempt. That is excellent. Just over 4 adjusted line yards on the defensive side. I think they're a formidable opponent. One of the few, you know, teams on defense that have above-average grades across the board if you're into PFF. I think this one's close. I don't know how it got beyond 3 points. If I had to take a pick, it's definitely with the Steelers because I think they're better on both sides of the script. Cleveland, once they go down 7 or 10, can they score a touchdown if they need to? I'm not so sure. I do like the black and yellow today.
Mm-hmm. You made a good point in there, too. Don't chase your season win totals. There's some wisdom in that. Don't chase your pre-flop season win total convictions as the season continues. Don't be too married to that. All right, final couple minutes here. We have about 90 seconds, actually. I know your real passion these days is predicting line movement in the National Football League. How is that exercise going for you?
It has been so wildly beyond expectations. I have professional line makers in my DMs asking me what I'm doing. Very simply, people, and I have to thank you, Gil, for not only helping me platform this, but to encourage me to make this more digestible. These are trading techniques. I was a derivatives trader. It's a high leverage, cash only trading game. So basically, people, we're looking for pockets of volume that materialize in the money line moving. As the money line begins to jiggle, we're doing cost per point analysis. It's a value exercise. That becomes a leading indicator of line movements. I've used just a single book to create a constant, but that only kind of encourages or strengthens this exercise because if you are looking at other books, you could then front those lines even further. It has been ridiculous. You got to follow me on Twitter. I'm streamlining it all for free through Patreon just because it means that much to me. We are putting, I mean, every skill, I've shown you the receipts. Every day, it's 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, half point or greater line movements. We're not talking about getting in front of 15 cents, which is nice. We're talking about getting in front of the number. There's no beating that in football. This is really what I'm living and breathing for right now. The second that red light goes off, I'm getting right into it. The report will be out soon.
John, it took us weeks to get there, but I think you have captured the phrase, money line jiggle. Money line jiggle. That's what you're looking for.
I know a bit about jiggling.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it as always.
Yo, you're the best, man. Take care.
John Legeza at L. It's a John Legeza spelled L-A-G-H-E-Z-Z-A. College football with Adam Kramer just around the bend. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Look at that. Get full access to everything we do. That includes our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show host and guest, 24/7 video, season prep that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips. Updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175 American dollars. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's where you'll find everything for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidland is here as well. Kelly, you hear the big news? Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather.
I did hear that.
Oh, such large news.
Do we have any more details than yesterday?
Well, the details yesterday made me not care at all because Floyd Mayweather Jr. said, we're not sure if it's going to be a fight or an actual exhibition. And he was like, I'm rooting for an exhibition. So at that point, you're like, okay.
I think the biggest thing, and if people are, you know, people wondering what's the difference between this fight and the last time around, right? It's the fact that both these guys' careers are over, right? There's no reason for one of them to want to to do anything that's going to continue their career at all in a professional sense, right? Like, you're talking exhibitions or exhibitions. These guys will be able to book exhibitions,
yeah,
you know, for as long as they want, probably.
Well, sport. Floyd Mayweather is 45 years old. He is Tom Brady's age. And, oh, by the way, this is boxing. And his quote was, "I'm not into fights where I'm going to take any real punishment," unquote. That kind of describes your whole career, Floyd. Quite frankly.
For real.
Yeah. So, much ado about nothing there. Of course, the first go-round of that, though, would you say was the greatest betting case study we've ever had ever in life?
Oh, yeah. I greatest case study, yes. Greatest opportunity, yes. I always crack up, too, where it's one of those, for anybody who knows somewhat of what they're doing with sports betting, right? Everybody bet it.
Everybody bet it. Mayweather was minus 2,700, I think, when the line came out here at the South Point where we do this show from. And I remember saying to Jimmy Vaccaro all those times, I was like, if it gets down below $5. And at one point, he was like, I think you missed your chance, kid. And then sure enough, day of, right, it gets below $5. Offshore, it even got into low fours, maybe in the high threes. Anyway, everybody went to, like, the bank that Friday and withdrew tons of money if you didn't have it in your pocket already. What are you doing with all this money? Don't worry, I'll be back Monday.
And I think because you're laying that, because you're laying that much juice, right? That means you're betting a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I think it becomes one of those moments of everybody remembers where they were when that fight took 100%. Place, right? Because you're sweating. You're sweating the whole time.
Yes, Preston Johnson will tell you. So we were at Teddy Covers, had a Mayweather-McGregor party. And so we were all at his house. And Preston saw me, like, nervous eating before. He's like, what's wrong? It's like, well, it just occurred to me how much money we're betting on this thing. So because it is boxing at the end, right? So you have no idea. Anyway, that ends up being one of the great moments in sports betting history, but the rematch doesn't look like it's going to be much.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, I remember being on the couch with friends, and I'll never forget. I was watching it at my place, had some friends over, a couple of us heavily invested, and then there's like that one guy that's like, why are we watching this? Like, who cares? Like, this is not a good. This isn't gonna be a good fight. Like, you're like, shut up, Tommy, get out of here.
Through the first three rounds, you're like, anytime you're ready, Floyd.
Yeah, anytime.
Anytime you're ready. By the way, you follow up on this this chess mystery that you and I have been special numbers game investigation.
Yeah, I mean, we found out a little bit more on, what was it, Monday? There was another tournament where there was the two, Magnus and Neiman, back at each other. I even remember their names.
You know what's so funny is that it's Magnus Carlsen and Hans Neiman. For those who missed it, Magnus Carlsen is like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, grandmaster, great chess player.
He's the grandest grandmaster.
The grandest of all grandmasters. Yeah. And then there's Hans Niemann, who's this 19-year-old kid. He beat him, or no, I don't know what happened the first time. Magnus Carlsen said this guy cheated, right?
Yeah, there was accusations of cheating after he lost to him.
Did he lose? He lost to him the first time.
Yes.
Accusations of cheating. We talked about the rumors on this show that one of the rumors of how he was cheating was, there's no other way to say this, anal beads, and he was getting some kind of electroshock. Anyway, they had a rematch, and after one move, Magnus Carlsen said deuces.
Oh, we've got the replay. You want to see the replay?
Ladies and gentlemen, riveting, and I do mean riveting, hold on to your hats, chess footage goes like this.
D4, because this is his main move. D4, knight f6, c4, yeah, definitely. And what? No.
What happened? What?
No.
Trying to figure out what's going on. What
there it happened? Is. One screen goes
That's
blank.
That's it?
That is exciting.
We're going to try and get an update on this.
the online chess analysis. Trying to figure out what's going on.
We're going to get an update on
got
this.
Got up and left. Switched off his camera. And that's all we know right now.
Wow.
Wow, he says. Wow. All right. I think we get the point.
One move and the guy resigns,
So he's making a point. He's like, this guy's still cheating. Anyway.
Yes.
We still are efforting lines as to how big of a favorite he was the first time when he lost, but we're having trouble with that. All right. Adam Kramer, ladies and gentlemen, some college football. How you doing, Adam? Oh, we lost Adam. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get Adam after the break. How about we do that, Kelly? Let's bring back Adam after the break.
We'll do that. We'll do that.
Let's talk about AFC win total movement. Shall we do that? AFC season win totals. Now, again, this is the thing. If you're new to sports betting and it's sort of like normal for you, hey, they just post season win totals after every week. It's normal. Of course they do that. Yes, of course they should have all these years. But guess what? Up until about 2-3 years ago, nobody did this. Nobody. Never happened in Nevada, that's for sure. Shops like DraftKings, though, every week, this used to be the thing that we would do sort of off the grid, right? I used to call it on the Beating the Book podcast on the Megapod, which, by the way, we're recording right after this show. William Hilliam is the guest today, Kelly, in case you're wondering.
Nice.
With Todd Wishnevin, of course, Jeff Parlay. I used to talk about how I would do it off the grid, and it was the greatest sort of sports betting vehicle. Well, now you can do it above board. You can do it legally. And so we look at the AFC adjusted season win totals. And Kelly, I'll start with you. I have some thoughts. Anything stick out to you in terms of adjustments here after 2 weeks of the season?
Man, the Bengals are starting to feel a little low to me looking on here. But, you know, I can't get in on betting an over on a win total on them until I see them win a game. It's like, oh, yeah, put something together.
But that's gone from 9.5 2 weeks ago to 8.5.
Yep.
Which is not outlandish of a move, right? I'm trying to look at, here are the three biggest moves from before the season to 2 weeks in the AFC specifically. The Colts have gone from 9.5 to 7.5 after their 0-1-1 start. The Titans have gone from 9.5 to 7.5 after their 0-2 start. Remember, they lost to the Giants and then at Buffalo. The Colts tying Houston, losing to Jacksonville 24-0. The Broncos have appropriately gone from 10.5 to 9. Remember their opening night loss, at Seattle. Then they squeak by the Houston Texans. I think so. If the Colts down 2, the Titans down 2, the Broncos down 1.5 in terms of their season win total in 2 weeks.
I don't care that they haven't won a game yet. If I wasn't already heavily invested in the Colts, I think I would be betting over on a 7.5.
That is exactly where I was going, sir. Yeah. Can we show the Colts, guys? I'm sorry to do this to you downstairs. Can we show the Colts schedule? Colts are 0-1-1. So for the purposes of this, the tie might as well be a loss, right? The point is it doesn't count as a win. So they're at 0, and they have 15 football games left. You just have to go 8-7 the rest of the way. If you had preseason conviction on the Indianapolis Colts, my thinking is you ought to go over here. The over is slightly juiced at -125 because if you look at their schedule, I can find, and I'm being kind of conservative, yeah. I can find 9 wins in there.
The other big thing about this one for me, Gil, is you got to look at the rest of the division. And people out there might be like, well, what are we talking about? The Jaguars are off to a hot start. Yeah, they are. And maybe they keep it up to a degree. I think we expect them to cool off a little bit. But the bigger thing for me is what I've seen through the first couple weeks kind of confirms confirms my suspicions about Tennessee, that I think they're going to be very bad this year. I just put a pretty big bet in the other day for them not to make the playoffs. So I think it's still Colts and 3 other teams to me.
I mean, if you look at this schedule, okay, let's say they're a 6-point dog to the Chiefs. Let's say you think the Chiefs win that game, as indicated by that spread. Home Titans at Broncos, home Jaguars. They could win all 3 of those. Then they have an at Titans and a home Commanders. Let's say they split those. That's 4 already, and you're not even at midseason yet.
Yeah. But what you should do, I'll retract what I said. You should wait till after this week. I would wait till after this week and bet the over.
Unless you think they could pull off an upset. Right.
Which they could. I'm not going to put it past
them. I wouldn't put it past them either. But I think you're right. I think you make that move, right, where you wait for after this week, hope it ticks down a little more. By the way, they finished their season at the Giants and the Texans at home. All you need to do is cobble together 2 other wins besides that. I think that's the play in the AFC. Over on the Colts adjusted season win total. But as Kelly said, why don't you wait till after the Chiefs this weekend? Adam Kramer on the other side. Some college football next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on every Thursday night pro football game. And if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. The offer's available all season long. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first touchdown in any pro football game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. You remember when we used to do our first touchdown score stuff on Primetime Action?
Yeah.
Man, we would bet that every night.
Oh, I stole a big pot from the crew on Monday night. Don't worry, I gave it back.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Or Isaiah's supposed to buy the pizza or something, Isaiah.
The beauty of that was how if none of us won, we'd be like, oh, let's do the next one.
So that's what we did. We did the same thing with the crew. It took, what, like five primetime games for it to finally, for one of us to finally hit. And so they just kept rolling it over. Four primetime games.
As I remember it, I went on a pretty vicious run of hitting those.
I think you did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do recall that. By the way, Kelly, you want your pro tip of the hour?
Do it.
Pro tip of the hour. Don't chase season win totals. John Legaisa mentioned this. He just sort of threw that in, and I think that's a good point. Be okay with your preseason opinions changing throughout the season. Don't become too married to them that it becomes a detriment to your betting moving forward. It applies to every sport. We just happen to be talking about NFL right now. That's your VSiN pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets and we get texts. This is a text from Las Vegas Chris, multiple handicapping contest winner here in Las Vegas. He texts Kelly, says, can you slow-mo replay that chess? It was just so difficult to keep up. I'll slow-mo it for you. Wow.
One move, second move, resign. Wow.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, he works with Bleacher Report, and of course, for those of us here at VSiN as well, we're thrilled to have him. Writes college football columns each and every week at VSiN.com. It's Adam Kramer. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm getting into a whole bunch of stuff, but first and foremost, you are an Iowa grad, and so I just need to ask you right off the top, 34.5 is the total in this game against Rutgers. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, first off, I watched that entire Iowa game last week, so I think more than anything, I deserve a medal. You had dogs in the stadium because the security had left. It ended about, 1:30 my time. A very sad game. So, yes, it is very sad. 34.5. Now, Iowa did find a little offense. Granted, like we're talking here about Iowa offense, these things, but a freshman running back that looked really good. I kind of like the over. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it's been. I think Rutgers does have a little bit of spark. We'll see what they do against an Iowa defense, obviously, is still really, really good. I haven't done any historical digging. I can't remember a total this low that wasn't like the hours before a blizzard.
Yes, right? I'm with you. Exactly.
Like before like an Army-Navy game where it's like 8 inches of snow. Okay, that makes sense. But for a normal, whatever, if this is normal football game, this feels like an anomaly to say the least.
A database could prove us wrong, but that is my sort of recollection of that as well. Before we get into this week's games, because there's a couple that instinctually, like I really feel like I have a lean on. We'll get to those momentarily, but just what's the better story right now? Appalachian State's unbelievable first 3 weeks of the season, the 40-point fourth quarter where they lose 63-61 to Carolina, followed by the upset of Texas A&M, followed by the Hail Mary and Boone this past week, which was just unbelievable with College Game Day there. Or the sort of more historical arc story that is Kansas, along with Vanderbilt, by the way, both have exceeded their season win total. But Kansas has always been such a laughingstock, and here they are, not only 3-0, but like a pretty impressive 3-0. What's the greater story to you?
I think App State has been the better watch because it's just chaos. It's weekly chaos, and it's been unbelievable, the show each week, and it's been very different, right? You know, outperforming A&M, The game against UNC was exciting, then the Hail Mary. But Kansas is the best story because I think it's legitimate. That's not to say what App State is doing is not. I can't remember a football resurrection like this one. And as Nebraska fans are wearing higher Urban shirts before getting clobbered by Oklahoma, you should be looking to Kansas for your next head coach, Lance Leopold. So I think it's Kansas, and I think it's, what, number three scoring offense in the country. You have a quarterback in Daniels that's actually really good, and in terms of excitement, one of the most exciting players to watch. I think he leads the nation in QBR, which is crazy when you think about the rest of the quarterbacks you and I have talked about for months and how it means. So I think more than anything, right, this is a team that looks miserable to play against. Like, truly, is going to – they were tough for Houston. They're going to be tough for Duke. I like Kansas this week, even though that line is a little interesting. Iowa State, TCU, like, Kansas could be 6-0. Like, a legitimate 6-0. And this is a win total of what, 2.5? Like,
yeah.
So you think about it, outperforming expectations this drastically, I think it's a heck of a story.
Did you, what did Rome used to say, Kelly? Rack that. Kansas could be 6-0.
Yep.
All right. But you're not touching that line, though, 7.5? You're not touching it against Duke?
I think I'm going to stay away. While I'm very high and excited about Kansas, I don't want to. I did have that win total. It's funny hearing the advice beforehand. This is a little bit of a different one where it's already cash, and now it's like, what do I do with my hands? I watch and I learn. And that is not usually the case with me, by the way. Normally, you're sweating them until the very last week, or not at all. So I'm going to watch and learn this week, but I am very excited. If you love college football, you've got to love this story.
What do I do with my hands?
All right. What was it, Kansas and Vandy? You're already cashed.
Already cashed.
Hold on to those tickets.
It's over, yeah.
So, okay, so there's two. I don't usually come into a college football weekend with, because I'm not as, and Kelly and I will say, that we're not as sort of in tune with this as others are. But there's two college football games, and I alluded to one with Pete Futak earlier this week, and I didn't really tip my hand on the other one. But there's two games where I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? One is Wake Forest, who I think could actually pull off an upset against Clemson. They're a full touchdown dog. I love that just on sight. The other one is, how is North Carolina virtually a pick'em with Notre Dame? What am I missing on both of those?
Well, with Wake, Clemson is a perplexing team, right? The score at halftime against Louisiana Tech last week was 13-6. And, yes, the final score of 48-20, like, all is not well with that Clemson offense, right? Now, giving Will Shipley the ball, that seems like a really good idea. I was screaming that week one, too. They've got a great, great running back, like a Christian McCaffrey level, do everything, catch. Like, but they're going to make a – at some point, this whole thing, you know what's going to happen. We saw it with Cade Klubnik getting reps. Like, that's going to happen. And is it going to be this week? I'm kind of with you there. Now, the issue is – Wake Forest hasn't exactly been great. Sam Hartman missing time and everything else. It just feels strange. But still, I'm kind of with you there. North Carolina, to me, is one of the more – I was asked yesterday by a friend, like, what's the game that can cause chaos this week? And I said North Carolina, Notre Dame, it's not going to cause chaos in the polls or the playoff. Like, that ship has sailed for Notre Dame. But it's a game from a narrative standpoint that's fascinating to me. North Carolina has looked great. Are we overthinking this? Like, what? You know what I mean? You've got a quarterback in North Carolina that looks really good in May. You've got a Notre Dame offense that you've got the offensive coordinator getting caught on television saying some not so nice things to his quarterback. Like, to me, North Carolina is a team of chaos. And we're going to talk about App State being a great story. North Carolina is a small piece of that as well. So I kind of like the Tar Heels here, even though I would imagine there's some mixed opinions on this one.
Carolina favored by 1.5 now as we do this here on Thursday morning. And there's A&M against Arkansas. And this is one of those where I'm like, please help me. Help me about either of these teams. A&M does get off the does have the bounce back game, I guess. They beat Miami, but it sure didn't look that good. And we're outplayed. If you look at the box score, we're certainly outplayed. Arkansas, well, they had trouble with Missouri State. That was one of those where you're texting people. It's like there could be an upset with Missouri State and Arkansas. Didn't happen in the end, but they struggled. A&M's a 1.5-point favorite. What do you do with this game?
I think I like Arkansas. I saw some better things with A&M. I think the quarterback change was the right time. Mac Johnson did have some success in his previous stops, although it still didn't look completely right. You know, I view this game the way I view Tennessee and Florida, and I know the level of competition here is feels a little bit higher. But offensively, Arkansas is just capable of so much more, right? Tennessee is capable of so much more than Florida. And I think you'll see a much different game there than this one. Arkansas, we saw this game last year, right? And it was kind of this, you know, back and forth, and then Arkansas kind of broke the thing open. Again, there's so much reliance. If you talk about Clemson and offensively struggling, and we kind of know the narrative, and it's going to pop up, this feels like another game where it's going to pop up. Arkansas has a better quarterback. As for last week, I don't want to blindly chalk it up as a look-ahead game, especially with Bobby Petrino in the building. maybe not, but it does feel a moment that Arkansas just was very slow off the blocks, then got it going. So to me, Adam, again, the Hogs feel like
a play. Got to run, Adam. I appreciate it. Thank you. Coming back with Crackman next.